had an interesting experience, and got my sermon all prepared last night, went to sleep, slept more or less well, and during the last few moments of my sleep, I dreamed another sermon. Now, I can't give it to you nearly as good as I was giving in that dream, but the best I can, I'm going to try to share with you what I saw in that dream. We are prepared to do the communion service, as you can see right here. The bread has been baked, the wine has been poured, it's been put on the table, it's been covered. The towels and water are ready and waiting for us. Pretty soon the sermon will be over, and then we will celebrate the communion service. What then? We go through the rituals of this service, and then we walk out into the rest of the day. What then? Is this service a mere reminder of Passover? Is it merely a looking forward to the second coming, as Jesus described it being partly both? What does it mean for a congregation standing on the edge of eternity? The Gospels don't give us a detailed account of what happened at the communion service that night, at the Passover, the preparing for Passover. As you look at the biblical record, it's not stated in so many words whether the foot washing came before the eating of the bread and wine. But logically, we know that would happen because they would clean up before they had the meal. They would have, every one of them, entered the room dirty. Even the ones who had taken great care to cleanse themselves before they started the journey to that particular room would have collected some dirt as they went along. And perchance, if one there made it in totally physically clean, he would have still been spiritually unclean, because you see, they were a proud bunch. They followed the rules and the rituals of their faith. They were proud of that. They followed a rabbi who was popular among the masses and who in their minds was almost a subversive against the kingdom of Rome, which is really what they wanted. And they were coming to celebrate that event, which was the formation of Israel and began the deliverance of Israel as a nation. The lamb was prepared. The water was ready. The wine was poured. The towel was in place. And they were there with everything that seemed to be ready. There were some things missing. There were at least three things missing, and only Jesus could provide those. Humility was missing. Service was missing. And inner cleanliness was missing. The Gospel of Luke gives a more detailed account of the activities during the meal than any of the others. If you turn with me to the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, we will find there what he has to say is, in some areas, more detailed. I want to begin by looking at verses 14 through 18. And when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Jesus takes the cup, blesses it, gives it to the disciples, and tells them to share it. This may not be what you think, because in verse 19 he speaks of the bread, and verse 20 he speaks again of the wine. Divide this among yourselves. Was this a test? As it went around, did Judas think, maybe I can get just a little bit bigger drink than somebody else? Were all the eyes on the next person to get the cup? Is there going to be any left for me? How was it divided? Were they sitting there watching each other? Then Jesus takes the bread in verse 19 and gives thanks and breaks it and gives it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this how? In remembrance of me. And likewise he took the cup after supper, saying, a second time he passes the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood which is shed for you. Now Jesus in John and Luke is recorded as giving some serious teaching after the communion service. And we're going to focus on what is said in Luke this time with a couple of passages from John. Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 35. And Jesus begins to apply this to their lives after the communion service. And he deals with their preparation, beginning with verse 35. And he said to them, when I sent you without money bag, sack, and sandals, did you lack anything? So they said, nothing. And he said to them, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a sack, and he who has no sword, and let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. He was numbered with the transgressors. When was that going to be accomplished? Within hours. Within hours, that was going to be accomplished. For the things concerning me have an end. Those ceremonies, those services that pointed forward to Jesus, which was about to happen, it was imminent. It was on the edge. Jesus said, those things have an end. Well, Jesus is telling the disciples that. He was saying all these things, all these services point to me. And all of those things that point to me are coming to their culmination in the reason that I came down here. For the reason that I came down here. It's interesting as we compare Passover to communion, the similarities and the differences. When Jesus instituted the Passover service, he said there must be a lamb. And if you go back and read, the lamb was to be chosen on the 10th day of the first month, Nisan, or Abib, depending on whether you're looking in the Old or New Testament. That lamb had to be picked, and for 4 days, that lamb lived in the house. It was treasured. It was a male lamb, by the way. And Jesus' ministry was in the neighborhood of 4 years. 3.5 years. So you have that similarity. The lamb that was to be slain, the body was to be roasted whole. No bone was to be broken. And so Jesus on the cross fulfilled that prophecy. Not one bone was broken. And then the Passover lamb had to be eaten in its entirety. And what was not eaten had to be destroyed the next morning by fire, so that nothing was left. And as Jesus in the Passover service says, you are doing this in remembrance of me. As you eat this bread, as you drink this wine, you are partaking of me. And one of the versions of the gospel says, drink ye all of it, not part. And so we, as we stand on the other side of Passover in the communion service, must, using the same symbolism, partake completely of Jesus Christ, not just those areas where we're comfortable, not just those areas where we're strong. We must partake of the lamb, the bread, the wine, and the bitter herbs, if you will. And then, in John and Luke both, Jesus tells his disciples to prepare for service. Luke 22, verses 25 through 27 say, and he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, he who governs as he who serves. Or who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. Jesus is saying, I have the authority. I have the power. I have the status to be the one sitting and not being served. But yet I step down and serve. And therefore you, as my followers, as my disciples, are also to serve. In John chapter 13, verses 16 and 17, as the homily, if you will, on the foot washing, as Jesus talks to the disciples about it, in verses 16 and 17, he says, most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent them. If you know these things, happy, blessed are you if you do them. And then there was the issue of cleanliness or faithfulness. Back to Luke, the 22nd chapter. We'll look at verses 28 through 34. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon you, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. What is Jesus saying there? Satan asked. Who did he ask that he could sift? Remember Job? Satan asked, didn't he? He asked God. Satan asked Jesus that he may sift you as wheat, and I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, isn't that a beautiful text? Not if you've returned to me, when you have returned to me, do what? Strengthen your brethren. Peter. Jesus was looking at him and he was seeing through the sin, through the betrayal, to the point where Peter would be the strength to help others move through their experiences. And Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day before you will deny me three times. Jesus called Peter to service in verse 40. The disciples were called to prayer. Brothers and sisters, we're called to prayer today. There is nothing that needs to be done that can't be done through prayer. There is nothing that needs to be done that can't be messed up without prayer. Pray that you will not enter into temptation. There's all kinds of temptations out there. One of the greatest temptations in the church is to lift up yourself and not Jesus Christ. Pray that you enter not into temptation. When Jesus prayed, and you go to John, the 17th chapter, and if you look at between chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, you see Jesus praying for his disciples, promising his disciples the Holy Spirit, showing them how to work, preparing them for work. So they were called to service, physical service and spiritual service. But the sad thing is, as we look at the Word of God, after Jesus got through talking with him, after he got through with the communion service, they were still squabbling over who was the best. That's basically what it boiled down to. No matter what issue is, this who is best, isn't it? And then faithfulness, not just in doctrine. The disciples were good. They had doctrine. In relationships, brother, we talked about that in our Sabbath school lesson today. Perfect in relationships. Faithfulness to God as it relates to other people. And so many times we miss that important part of faithfulness. Because, brothers and sisters, we cannot be faithful to God without being faithful as our relationships are expanded and shown. John spends three chapters on the communion service, after the communion service, describing the relationships that the disciples would have, the relationships with each other, the relationships to Christ, and the relationships to the world. Unfortunately, I don't have time to preach that whole sermon, but look it up. Read it. You'll find it in John chapter 16. And then, finally, the relationship to the Holy Spirit. And Jesus spends some time with this. The Holy Spirit was to come back and do what? Teach us of Christ. Jesus said that. The Holy Spirit was to come and lead to Christ. And as we partake of this service, if it becomes just another tradition, if it is just another symbol among many, we've wasted our time here today. But if we see that it is truly partaking of the Son of God, of allowing Him to infuse our body, to go throughout our body, to nourish our body, to empower our body, then it becomes important. But interestingly enough, first comes the willingness to serve. And that's why we have the communion service, foot washing. And so at this time, we will do what Jesus said when he told his disciples, I want you to do this so you can be happy Christians. And I want you to be happy Christians. Because Jesus wants you to be happy Christians. Amen? So we'll separate at this time for the service of humility. The men will go up into the fellowship hall. The women will go back into, I don't know what room they're calling it now, junior room. And partake there.